chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 3, and we'll go all the way down through verse 10. Colossians 2, verses 3 through 10. Talking about Christ here, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Oh, amen. Okay, let me start over here 1 second. Deb, Colossians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. Colossians 2, 3 through 10. Colossians 2, 3 through 10. I hope you got that, Deb. All right, not a problem. Is the audio okay now, Deb? Is it sounding all right to you? All right. Folks, we just read Colossians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, and we wanted to pay special attention to verse 8, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You know, Jesus Christ came to give us truth. He's revealed truth through his word. And Jesus Christ, folks, is truth personified. He said in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, so what we want to be doing is we need to be walking in truth, learning the truth, believing the truth, and living the truth, and allowing Christ, who is the truth, to live in and through our lives. Amen. Tonight we want to look at what is the fate of the unredeemed. What is the fate, you know, of the unsaved? What is going to happen to them? And we've been looking at subjects like soul, death, spirit, things like that. And in this study we've entitled, "Is Eternal Conscious Torment True?" we've been looking at these type of things. We've been looking at whether man is immortal or not, or whether it's, as the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, that it's God only who hath immortality in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. But tonight we want to look at specifically at the death of the wicked, the fate of the wicked, the unsaved, the unjust, the unredeemed, whatever you want to call them. And there's some specific words that are used throughout the Bible. Some of the things we're going to learn is that the wicked shall be destroyed. We're going to look at some verses under that heading. And we're going to look at some things about that they shall perish. And those, we're going to look at things under that topic. Also, that the unsaved will be burned up is another thing the scripture says happens to them. Another thing that the Bible declares is that they will be consumed. The Bible uses its words, it uses specific words. Words like destroy, perish, burned up, consumed. Also, the wicked will be devoured. Also, we'll be looking at verses that state that they shall be cut off from the earth. And also that the wicked are going to go into utter perdition or ruin, things like that. Turn, if you would, first to Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145, and look at verse 20. Psalm 145, verse 20. Now, as we look at these, I hope Deb can post these, and if not, if she's unable to post, I pray that you're just following along with an open Bible. Check these verses out in your Bible. Psalm 145, verse 20 says this: "The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." There's a declaration from God that that's what he's going to do to the wicked. Take a look now, still in Psalms, Psalm 101, Psalm 101, verse 8. Psalm 101, verse 8. And I hope the audio is coming through good. If my audio ever starts breaking up, folks, just, if you would, just PM Deb45. Just send a private message to Deb45 if my audio starts breaking up, and she'll notify me. Psalm 101, verse 8 says, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Once again, there's that word destroy. God is going to destroy the wicked. Still in Psalms, look at Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to look at verse 38. Psalm 37, 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Not if, not maybe so. The transgressors shall be destroyed together. Not apart, not one at a time. They shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Take a look also at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and we're going to look at verse 7. Psalm 92, verse 7. You see, folks, I'm just quoting the verses. I'm letting the verses speak for themselves. You go back, you look at these verses compared to the rest of the scripture. Look at these verses in context. Look at the verses before. Look at the verses after. Weigh them against what you're, you know, what you're being taught in your church or what you grew up learning. I'm just quoting the verses, and let's see what they say. Psalm 92, 7 says, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. There's not going to be some part of them left over. They're going to be destroyed forever. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Says this, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. No ifs, no maybes, no buts about it. The one who despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Look again at Proverbs, this time Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 29. Proverbs 10, 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Destroyed, destruction. These words are evident over and over again. Incidentally, on the flip side of it, what you don't see is that the fate of the wicked is, you don't see the Lord is going to take the wicked and eternally consciously torment them. The Lord is going to eternally consciously torment the wicked of the land. The transgressors are going to be eternally consciously tormented. The wicked spring as grass, but they're going to be eternally consciously tormented forever. Whoso despiseth the word is going to be consciously eternally tormented and tortured forever. That's not the language of the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's go ahead and look at Philippians. Let's go on to some New Testament passages. Philippians chapter 3. We're just teaching what the Bible, we're just quoting the Bible verses. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 19. Paul talks about these in verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and look what's going to happen to them, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The writers of the Bible, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, people, are saying that their end is going to be destroyed. That their end is to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed forever. Go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, and look at verse 9. Paul talks about contentment here, and he goes on to verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, and he says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. That's what they're going to sink into. That's what they're going to fall into destruction and perdition. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians. This time look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 8. This is what God is going to do to the unsaved at the time he comes back. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, Deb. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction.
from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, we're not saying that there's not, we're not one of these people who say there is no hell. By the way, I believe in all four hells in the Bible. That's another study in and of itself. Basically, just talking about the Hebrew and Greek translations there into English. But look, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance. God is going to take vengeance. It's going to come in the day of his wrath, and he's going to do it against those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are going to be punished, folks. And they are going to be punished with everlasting torture, everlasting torment of their undying immortal soul. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what Paul wrote when he had every opportunity to write that? Is that what any Bible writer of all 66 books of the Bible ever in any chapter wrote that that's going to happen to the unredeemed? Paul had every opportunity to write it here because he's talking about the day of God's vengeance and wrath. But he says, no, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And they are going to perish. If death means death, they are going to perish. Look at Psalm 37. Now we're going to look at the unredeemed, how they are going to perish. Not live forever in some immortal soul. They're not going to turn into red snakes or worms and live on forever, slithering and writhing in a bunch of fire forever in their immortal soul, because there's no such thing in the Bible. They are going to be destroyed. And folks, when God takes care of business with the unsaved, and I don't mean to sound unloving, quite frankly, nothing's much more unloving than the doctrine of eternal conscious torment and unscriptural. But folks, when God takes care of business with the unsaved, with the unredeemed, with the Christ rejectors and God haters and those who stuck out their tongue and shook their fist towards God and towards the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrected life that he's offered people. When God takes care of business, folks, he will take care of business. And it's not up to you or I to say, no, no, no. God needs to eternally, consciously torment them forever. Folks, the wages of their sin will be what God says the wages of their sin are. And they are to be destroyed, they are to perish, they are to be burned up, they are to be consumed, they are to be devoured, they're going to be cut off, and they're going to be that way forever, in utter ruin and ashes. And folks, listen, we're just going to keep going through the verses. I'm just going to let the verses speak for themselves. Psalm 37, verse 20. Psalm 37, verse 20. Talking about the redeemed in verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Verse 20, it says this, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. Now just read the words on the page, people, if you have any preconceived notions about anybody being eternally, consciously tormented in their immortal soul, which is what tradition teaches, not what the Bible teaches. Look at that. They are going to perish. They're the enemies of the Lord, shall be as fat, the fat of lambs. You know what happened at the Passover, what happened to the Passover lamb, the part that wasn't eaten? It was burned up. The burnt offering, the sacrifices were burned up. They shall be as the fat of lambs, he specifies it. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Look at Proverbs also. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. Proverbs 19, verse 9. You know, when you approach the Bible, we got to approach it humbly with an open heart, an open mind, and an open Bible. I'm glad Deb is posting these verses, but folks, when Pal Talk is over, these verses are going to be gone on the screen. But you know where they're going to be? They're going to be in your Bible. These verses are going to be there in your Bible for you to read and look at and check out for yourself. The Bible says to study. The Bible commands us to be diligent. The Bible, Paul speaking to Timothy in the very last epistle that we believe Paul probably wrote, 2 Timothy was probably the last epistle he wrote. And one of the last things he said to Timothy was this, as a means of encouragement to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's a diligence, there's a study, there's a workman. To some Christians, work is a four-letter word that they don't want to have anything to do with. What about enduring hardness as a good soldier? What about being a workman? What about Paul saying, I endure all things? What about Paul saying, I press on? Things like that. When you come to Christ, even though we're saved by grace and we're absolutely eternally secure no matter what, it's not time to do a holy flop and just lay there and eat Twinkies all day. Folks, we have a job to do, but we need to allow Christ to do it through us, but we still need to be willing, able vessels by Christ's ability working in us to understand these things, to study these things, to be a workman who's going to understand the truth of the Word of God. It's been declared to us. We have the mind of Christ to understand it now that we're saved, we're indwelt by the living Christ. He's willing to teach us if we're willing to open our Bibles and look at it. Proverbs 19:9 was the last verse. Look at Luke 13 into the New Testament from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. We're going to go through Luke 13, verses 1 through 3. Luke 13, 1 through 3 says this. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate had just done a terrible, awful thing and killed some Galileans and actually mingled their blood with the blood sacrifices that the Hebrews were trying to make. Just an abomination. And these Pharisees are asking, look, you know, weren't these just terrible sinners? But what did they do that they endured the wrath of God, you know? And Jesus is like, no, you got it all wrong. Look what Jesus says in verse 2. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans? The answer, rhetorical, no. He says, because they suffered such things? Verse 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus Christ says, unless you repent, unless you have a change of mind and heart about me, Jesus, Christ is saying, you're going to all likewise perish. You're all going to die. The wages of your sin are going to be death. You're going to likewise perish. There's that word, perish. Look over also at 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go back there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 7 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Paul says this, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of uprightness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They lived in unrighteousness, they were deceived by unrighteousness, and their end is going to be perishing because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God sets it out there for people. Every man, woman, boy, or girl born into this world can receive Jesus Christ. Now, I understand there's mentally handicapped people and things like that that are the exception who can't mentally grasp the things of the gospel. But the gospel is very simple. And unless the things of the kingdom of God, folks, are received as a little child, you don't receive them. You accept salvation as a gift. You can either have salvation, you can either have eternal life, or the alternative is perishing. God says, you don't want eternal life? Fine. You don't have to have it. But you're going to perish. Let's take a look also at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And Deb, I'm going to quote a few verses within that chapter. 2 Peter 2. We'll start with verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, says this. But there were false prophets also among the people. And we got them today, folks. 2 Peter 2, 1. But there are also false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves, what? The wages of their sin being eternal conscious torment, because they have an undying immortal soul that can never be destroyed? That's not what Peter says. Peter says, that they deny the Lord that bought them, and they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Swift destruction doesn't sound like a slow, unending, eternal conscious torment of their immortal soul to me, which immortal soul doesn't exist in the Bible, by the way. Take a look also down at verse 1. Let's go down to verse 9. Go down to verse 9. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations or tryings or trials," but he says, "and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." They're going to get it. Let's go all the way down to verse 10. "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts," get the language of this, verse 12, "but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Now don't argue with me. Don't say Teddy's a heretic for teaching this kind of stuff. Talk to Peter. Talk to Paul. Talk to Christ. Talk to the Lord. Take it up with him and his word, because Peter says these, as natural brute beasts, and we've already looked in our studies in past, when man dies, he's no better than a beast. He's going to the ground and he's going to dust, just like beasts do. But these, as natural brute beasts, Peter says, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. This is the kind of language the Bible uses. They shall utterly perish. Okay, let's look at some more things. Let's look at some verses that talk about the wicked, the unsaved, the unredeemed, people you and I know that are not Christians, don't want to have anything to do with the Lord, people you and I don't know. The mass of humanity, folks, the mass of humanity that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't want the Lord, is deceived, and doesn't have eternal life through Jesus Christ. They're the unsaved. Are they going to be consumed? Are they going to be burned up? Or are they going to suffer eternal conscious torment? Matthew chapter 3, look at verses 11 and 12. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. Look what John the Baptist said. We're looking at all kinds of different characters in the Bible to see what they have to say. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I," Christ, "whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Some of them are going to get the Holy Ghost. The unbelievers are going to get fire, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That fire is going to do its job, and it's going to burn up the chaff. See, when God goes to do something, you ever known God to do anything halfway? When God takes care of business, he takes care of business. That was Matthew 3, 11 and 12. Look at Matthew 13. Stay in Matthew for a minute. Matthew being a gospel that had much to do with directed to the Jews and the issues of the kingdom, the earthly kingdom and so forth, and what's going to happen at the end times, or things like that are in Matthew. Matthew 13, look at verse 30. Matthew 13, verse 30. And I'm going to start all the way up in verse 27. Deb, you don't have to post all these. "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sowest good seed in thy field, and from whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this." Well, we know who the enemy is. It's the devil. "The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." I don't know about you, but if you ever thrown any wheat into a fire, isn't anything left to it, is there? It is consumed. It is burned up. Let's see what the writer of Hebrews has to say. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll take a look at verse 8. Hebrews 6, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8 says about these thorns, about these tares, it says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Their end is to be burned. Same book of Hebrews says, God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. Speaking of consuming, the next in our list of topics is that they will be consumed. Isaiah chapter 1, the unredeemed, the unsaved, the unjust, the Christ rejectors, are going to be consumed. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 28. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 28 says this. Verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. But what happens to the transgressors? Isaiah 1:28 says, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. There's the destruction, folks. There's of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Not shall be thrown into the torture chamber of horrors with everlasting, eternal, conscious tormenting and torture of some immortal soul. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what these verses say. That's not what the Lord says. Folks, I used to teach, as many of you have heard me say, but I have to say it in case somebody's in the room that hasn't heard me say this, for years I taught unashamedly the doctrine of eternal conscious torment and things like immortal souls and things like that that are not biblical. Okay? And in fact, I mocked the position I now hold, and I had to humble myself when I came to a point in life and says, Lord, I really want to know this issue. I want to see what it says. I want to see what these verses mean. I want to see what these things say about this issue. And the verses speak for themselves if we'll let them. Okay? Isaiah 1:28, we did. Okay, let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and take a look at verse 20. Psalm 37, verse 20. Psalm 37, verse 20. Talks about the righteous being unashamed in verse 19 and satisfied, but verse 20, Psalm 37, 20 says this, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, they shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. They're going to be consumed. They're going to be consumed. Isaiah said it, and the psalmist says it here. They're also going to be devoured. Devoured. Any of you have a dog? If any of you have a dog, you know what a dog can do to some food when he's hungry. The wicked are going to be devoured. Psalm 21. Psalm 21, verses 8 through 10. Psalm 21, 8 through 10. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Nobody's going to escape the wrath of God. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. The traditionalists teach, oh, no, no, oh, no, we can't have that. The unsaved and everybody else has an immortal seed within them. They have an immortal soul within them. That could never be consumed. That could never be killed. It's unkillable. It's undiable. Well, you know, if you've been in here weeks past, we've talked about people dying. People who are living souls dying, and a soul dies. We've been through that. We've been through that. Write me, email me if you want all the tapes. Or go to BibleUnderstanding.com for some other studies. Or do both. But folks, they are going to be destroyed, and their seed is going to be destroyed from among the children of men. God is going to swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. God does not mince words when it comes to his wrath. And you know what? Since God doesn't mince words when it comes to his wrath, he could have easily said, because God has no fear of man, and God doesn't have to worry about walking around on eggshells around you or I. God could have said, look, you reject me and my son, my covenant, if he said in the Old Testament, my son in the New Testament, the doctrine of grace, and this, this, whatever God wanted to say, he said, you reject that, you're going to get eternal conscious torment on your immortal soul forever. God could have said that. You think God is afraid to say that? Why didn't he say it in the Bible? If that's what the punishment is, if that's what the fate of all the unredeemed is, why didn't God say that? God could have said it, but he didn't. Interesting. But God does say what their fate is. Look down. Let's go to Zephaniah. I've got a verse here. Zephaniah, and I've got about four verses here I want to use. Zephaniah chapter 1. I can get to it. Zephaniah chapter 1. Deb, I'm going to look at verses 14 through 18. Pages are stuck together here. Zephaniah 1. There we go. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 18 says this. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. God minces no words. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Yeah, I'd say it's gloomy. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust. Their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. The last thing God wants around is an immortal sinner. And there is no person that has immortality apart from Christ. God says he's going to make a speedy riddance of them. That's plain old English, almost Southern, that I can relate to. A speedy riddance. I like that. And they are going to be devoured, folks, by the fire of his wrath, by the fire of his jealousy, it says there. I didn't say that. God said that. Revelation 20, verse 9. Revelation chapter 20, verse 9. Just need to let the verses speak for themselves. Revelation 20, verse 9 says this. Speaking about the armies that come against the Lord in the very last time. It says this in Revelation 20, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There's that word again, devoured them. And we're going to learn about the fate of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet here soon too. Not in this study, but that's going to be a study to come. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 27. Hebrews 10, verse 27. Here's what happens to people if they reject the things of the Lord. Here's what a person feels. Here's what a person fears. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's again, it's under a heading now of devour. We've got that in Psalm 21, we've got it in Revelation 20, we've got it in Hebrews 10, and we've got it in Zephaniah 1, and other places. These are just a few of the places we cite these kind of words, folks. Also, the unredeemed, the unsaved, are going to be cut off from the earth. They're not going to be in the heart of the earth, burning in their immortal souls, and in their asbestos suits that God's going to give them, their instantly reconstituted flesh, that they're supposed to be dwelling in their immortal souls in. That's not what the Bible teaches. They're going to be cut off from the earth. They're not going to be part of the earth. They're not going to be part of the new earth, the new creation. They're not going to be part of any of it. They're going to be cut off. Look at Psalm 37, verse 2. Psalm 37, and there's verses scattered all through this chapter of Psalm 37. I would advise you to read it on your own. Psalm 37. Look at verse 2 first of all. Psalm 37, 2. Talking about the unredeemed, the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Psalm 37, 2. Look at Psalm 37, verse 9. We're going to stay in this chapter. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There's some that are going to inherit the earth. Others are going to be cut off. That means killed, put away from it. Look also at verse 22. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Look at verse 28. Drop down a bit and look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. They're going to be killed. They're going to be cut off from the earth. Also look at same chapter, verse 34. Verse 34. Psalm of David says this. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it. There's going to be a time that they're going to know their judgment, and they're going to be cut off from the land. There's going to be some awareness of their judgment, and that'll be their time to weep. Look at verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That is what their end is going to be. They are going to be cut off. That's verse 38. So we've seen so far the wicked are going to be destroyed. We've seen verses about that. We've seen that they shall perish. We've seen verses that they're going to be burned up. We've seen verses that say they're going to be consumed. We've seen verses that they're going to be devoured. Now we're looking at verses where they're going to be killed or cut off. Isaiah 33, verse 12. Isaiah 33, verse 12. And thank you so much for posting these, Deb. Isaiah 33, verse 12. Once again, the Bible is clear. Isaiah 33, 12. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up, shall they be burned in the fire. They're going to be burned up. Burned up. Destruction or utter ruin. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 39. See, folks, if death is really death, this is what happens to the unsaved. If the wages of their sin are death, if that's what the wages are, which is what God says that they are, the wages of their sin, over and over and over and over. These are just a smidgen of the verses on this issue, folks. You can study this out yourself. I'm not here to convince you tonight. I can't do that. God has to convince you of this through His Word. Hebrews 10, verse 39 says, But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Very clear. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 says this, But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And I'm just going to keep reading here. Deb, I'm going to read all the way to verse 17. I'm just sorry to make you post. I hope you don't type your fingers to the bone. But I want to read these next 9 or 10 verses here. Here's what happens on the day of judgment. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Folks, the new heaven and the new earth and the new universe could not have righteousness really dwelling in it if there were still some immortal sinners around being tormented for all of eternity. That's not what God's Word teaches. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, kind of things Peter just talked about, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Folks, even the wicked have this error of believing falsely. Folks, even unsaved people talk about somebody going to hell and burning forever. Even the wicked have that error in their mind. Let's not have it in our minds. Let's believe the truth of the Bible. When the Bible says, if you folks will look at Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 and 6, death is really death when we just believe what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And their love, and their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Down in verse 10, those verses down there say, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. In Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4, Psalm 146, verse 3 and 4, death is really death also there. It says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, to his dust. In that very day his thoughts perish. Psalm 49:12. Man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Goes on down there and says, like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Verse 14, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Look at Job. Job chapter 14. Death is really death, even according to Job. He's someone who wanted to die. Job chapter 14. Look at verses 7 through 12. Death is really death when it's taught in the Bible. Job chapter, what did I say? Job 14, 7 through 12. Job 14, 7 through 12. For there is hope of a tree, if it shall be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Through the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Here's hope for a tree that's been cut down. But what about man? But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret, until when, Job? Until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. That's when Job expected to rise. That's when Job expected to realize his resurrection. Verse 15, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. God's always wanted to raise his own. God, that's what God wants to do. He looks forward to the resurrection day. I hope we look forward to it too. Folks, if death is death, you have Job in chapter 17 speaking of making his bed in darkness, his hope disappearing when he dies, his being in rest in the grave, and that this resurrection is going to take place in the future. Folks, over and over again, Psalm 6, verses 4 through 5. Psalm 6, verses 4 through 5. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O, save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Psalm 30, verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I shall go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? The obvious answer is no. Folks, if death is death, and it's a destruction, and it's perishing, if it's destroying, if it's perishing, if it's that the wicked are going to be burned up, if it's that they're going to be consumed and devoured and cut off and destroyed and go into destruction and utter ruin and become dust in the ground and ashes under the feet, folks, if it's not what, if you've got some other kind of idea of death, then I guess you got it from somewhere other than the Bible. Because these are the things that the Bible teaches. And contrary to popular opinion, God doesn't worry about popular opinion. And neither should we. We need to concern ourselves with being